verse 23, it says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. The incarnation of Jesus Christ is a great mystery. I tell you, you can think about it day and night for a long, long time, and you won't figure it out. It's a great miracle. God works in mysterious ways his wonders to perform. Can you imagine this? God is manifested in human flesh. That's an amazing thing that God ever comes down and touches human flesh, but that he would become a man is amazing. You can't explain this. You can try. I've heard people try, make attempts of it. We'll lose our minds trying to grasp what God does. We'll lose our souls if we don't grasp this blessed truth. He's the only baby ever known in the world who did not have a mortal father. The only baby. Rejecting the virgin birth will cause you to reject the scriptures. I've met several people in my life. I've met preachers. I've met church members. I've met deacons who said, "Well, I believe the Bible, but I don't know about this virgin birth stuff." And I said to them, and I'll say to you tonight, if you reject the virgin birth, you reject the scriptures. If you don't now, you will eventually. If you can't rejoice in this miracle of God, how can you rejoice in the other miracles God did? True faith rests on this declared fact that Jesus Christ was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born to a woman named Mary who was truly a virgin. I want to speak to you tonight, if the Lord will help me, a message that I have titled "The Incarnation of Christ." There are four or five things I want you to see from this passage of Scripture. First of all, I want to talk for a minute about the innocence of the virgin birth. You know, one of my favorite people in the Bible is Job. And Job asked a critical question. In Job 14:4, he said this, "Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean?" And he answered it, "Not one." Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? There's never been another mortal of carnal birth who's ever been clean. People hold a baby in their arms and they talk about that innocent, that's the words that I use for that innocent, pure, newborn baby. It only looks innocent. And if you wait long enough, and it won't take too long, it will prove itself to be depraved. I tell you, it's a great question. And the only answer to that question is that some rare miracle has to be done. And somehow God has to operate in a woman who is depraved by nature and produce a child who is not. Now, most of the world just shrugs their shoulders and shakes that off and lets it go. But I tell you, it's important. It's important. The Lord Jesus Christ was born of a carnal woman. The Roman Catholic Church always talks about the Holy Mother. She was a mother, but she wasn't holy. not in the flesh. There's never been one. In Galatians 4:4, Paul wrote, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law." There was nothing unusual about the birth of Jesus Christ, except that his mother was a virgin. Everything else was normal. She went through the same discomfort, the same problems, the same trials that any pregnant woman goes through. Now, I don't want to make a joke out of this or anything like this, but I mean, my wife and I had two children, and I have to tell you, she was hilarious. Pregnancy is not comfortable for folks. It's not supposed to be. And Mary went through the same trials of carrying a child that every other woman carried. The difference was the conception of that child. She was a woman that was born in sin. When she was born, she was a sinner. And she'd sinned all her life. Not speaking about her character. Not speaking about her dealings with situations. But she was depraved in her heart. All human beings are. All human beings are. She was a woman that was guilty of breaking God's law. I don't remember that. Means she was a tramp running up down the streets. I don't remember she was a rebel rouser and a political outcast or anything like that. But she was a lawbreaker. All human beings are. I'm still amazed. I'm really, one of the things that amazes me is how human beings embrace the law. The law is your worst accuser. There's no comfort in the law. All these people, there's somewhere, and I don't know where I've seen it, somebody around Mercer, Jessamine County, somewhere near, they've got a big tombstone in their front yard with the Ten Commandments engraved in it on both sides of it. They're, you know, I'm all for defending the scriptures, and I'm all for embracing the Word of God. But I'll tell you what, there's no comfort to law. She was shaping in iniquity like every other natural woman. I'm sure when Mary was born, her mother held her and thought, what an innocent little child. And she was wrong about that. Mary realized that she needed a personal Savior. I don't know when she found out about that, but she realized it. In Luke 1:46, Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." I tell you, people just don't naturally do that. I mean, the world out here and all these religious organizations, they're trying to convince you that everybody in the world is got the same hope you've got, and they're dealing the same way. They're wrong. There's an answer here to Job's question. In Job 25:4, it says, "How then can a man be justified with God? Or how can he be clean that's born of a woman?" How? Many of you know I was an atheist for many years. And one of the reasons I was an atheist was I couldn't answer that question. So I had to assume it couldn't possibly be true. It's the only alternative you got. But despite her sinful nature, and despite her sinful character, God used Mary. One of the great mysteries in the scriptures, how it says that David was a man after God's own heart. He was a liar, a fornicator, a murderer, a deceiver, but God loved him. God loved him. And he loved Mary. Despite her sinful nature and sinful character, God used her. God was able to bring a clean, pure baby out of the body of a woman who was tainted with inherited sin. Matthew 1:23, it says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." How can this be? How can it be that this woman, who was as normal as you and I are, she had the same kind of birth we had, the same kind of experience we had, the same kind of relationships that we have, and yet she produced the perfect child. Now here in the next month or so, people are going to go crazy over Christmas. And they'll go nuts over it. I mean, it'll be everywhere. I was at Sam's the other day. They had you covered. They had Halloween, Thanksgiving, and Christmas, and New Year's all covered. They had something for every one of them. I tell you, there's a danger in rejecting the virgin birth. And there's a curse associated with it, and there are many people who become subject to it. The sinlessness of Jesus Christ cannot be counted if you don't have a virgin birth. If the Lord Jesus Christ was not born of a virgin, then he was a sinner like every other human that's born. And he can't save himself, much less anybody else. His innocence and his purity cannot possibly originate from the flesh. Ever since Adam sinned, God said to Adam, "In the day you sin, you'll surely die." And the day that Adam sinned, he died. Spiritually. Not physically, spiritually. He says that to every other human being. To reject the virgin birth necessitates that you deny his pure character. If Jesus Christ was not born of a virgin, he's not a holy man. He's not. There must also be a miracle to prevent the taint of sin on Christ. When I was a young fellow and hadn't been saved very long, and I was fascinated by this. And I spent a lot of time studying this as much as I can. Some of you know, at one time I wanted to be a doctor, and I've always been fascinated with the human body. And I looked at this from every angle you can look at it, from a spiritual angle, from a physical angle, from a medical angle. How in the world could a woman that's a virgin produce a child and it carry on the nature of a father it did not have? Well, this was a miracle. An earthly mother and an earthly father produce mortal children. They do. You know why? Because they're mortal. And they pass on to their children the same nature they have. God has an order in things. And beasts of the same order produce beasts of the same order. Now, you can cross a mule and a zebra and get a funny-looking mule, but they're of the same order. But you can't cross a zebra and an elephant, or a zebra and a monkey, or a zebra and a whale. They just don't cross. And when a man and a woman come together and they produce a child, it has their nature. This woman, Mary, experienced a miracle in her womb by the power of the Holy Spirit. I've never been a woman, so I can't tell you what that's like, but maybe you ladies can. But when the Holy Spirit of God came on this young woman, she knew it. She knew it. She wasn't the only one that knew it. Her cousin Elizabeth knew it. At the instant of conception, a holy being is formed in the flesh. I really don't think many people can tell you when one of their children is conceived. It doesn't happen very often. And they may be able to tell you, but they can't tell you then. But Mary knew, because God spoke to her. And the body of Jesus was created and purified by the work of the Holy Spirit. In her body, he was a normal human being. He grew like a normal human being. He developed as a normal human being. And when he was born, he looked like a normal human being. But he was everything but normal. The Holy Spirit is like a chemist. I used to work in a drugstore when I was a young fella. I worked in a drugstore for a year or two. And most of the medicines you buy are already made. I mean, they're in a bottle. You get a can on the bottom, put them in a little bottle, put a label on it. But sometimes you'd get a prescription for something and it would have to be made. And one of the men that owned the store where I worked was a registered pharmacist. And he'd get out all this stuff. We had a set of scales that were inside of an enclosure and they were sealed. And they kept all the dust off of them and everything. There was nothing allowed to touch them. And he would mix that stuff up. And it used to just fascinate me to watch that stuff. You know, he'd mix out all this chemical and that chemical and the other chemical. He'd stir it around, do this, that, and the other. Sometimes he'd heat it up. Sometimes he'd chill it. Sometimes he'd do this, that. And he'd get, and it was amazing to me. The Holy Spirit did that. He came into this woman, into this virgin woman, and he caused her to conceive and produce a child. Luke 1:35 says, "The angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Pretty amazing testimony. There was a difficulty in denying Christ's virgin birth. It's a denial of the divine origin of the New Testament scriptures. If you deny the virgin birth, you defy the New Testament scriptures. If his virgin birth is not true, nothing else of it's true. If you can find anything in this scripture that's not sound, then you have reason to question everything in it. Denying Christ's virgin birth denies his essential deity. I'll tell you something. If he is born like me and you, he's not divine. I was nearly a perfect child. Ask anybody who knew me. And they'll tell you that I wasn't. The Lord Jesus Christ was perfect. I've heard men get silly with this, that he worked in a carpenter shop, he never cut himself, he never got a splinter, he never bled. That's foolishness. But I'll tell you what he did do. When he was a 12-year-old boy, he sat down with the doctors of the law, the scribes and the Pharisees at the temple in Jerusalem, and he absolutely bumfuzzled them. He knew the answers to questions they couldn't even ask. His parents missed him, and after 3 days they came back and said, "Where have you been?" And his answer to them was, "Don't you know I must be about my Father's business?" denying the virgin birth of Christ leaves one to deal with miracles that are just as difficult to explain. There's not a miracle in this Bible that is more intriguing to me than the miracle of the virgin birth. Jesus turned water into wine? What a miracle! A lot of excuses you can figure out for that. But for a woman who's never known a man to produce a child that has God's nature? We deny the virgin birth as a Bible doctrine. It leads us to deny all kinds of scriptural doctrines. We live in a time, you live in a time, when the churches today are denying the scriptures. Men stand in pulpits and deny the scriptures all the time. I went to church one night to hear a fellow preach, and I asked the pastor of the church, I said, "You believe everything's on that bulletin board out there?" He said, "Absolutely." I said, "You believe in baptismal regeneration?" He said, "No." I said, "Then you ought to take that down off your bulletin board out there, because it says you do." Be careful. Now, let me talk for a minute about the fusion of the elements that are in the God-man. The Holy Spirit enabled an infant to be formed that has dual natures. Now, my sister has all kinds of funny animals. She had a chicken born one time with its head upside down. She had a blind goat, a deaf dog, and I don't know what all she's got now. We have a lot of strange things that we see, but I'll tell you what, you don't know any human beings that have two natures. At the instant of conception, the Holy Spirit married deity with humanity inseparably. This union procured the Lord Jesus Christ to be born as a God-man. He's the only one. The only one. The Holy Spirit was the binding between these two natures. What held them together? Now, I don't know about you, but I'm going to tell you about myself. I'm a sinner saved by grace. By nature, I'm a sinner. As wicked and evil as you can get. But when God gave me a new heart, He gave me a new nature. And my new nature and my old nature fight with each other all the time. But the natures of Jesus Christ never contended with each other. They were always in perfect harmony. That's amazing. There's no violation of the law in this mixture. He supplied the introduction of a new agent. Perfectly normal for a human being to have human nature. But He produced a child that had the nature of God. He supplied the seed of a miraculous conception. He replaced the seed of Joseph in Mary's later conceptions. Joseph and Mary had several children. But not until after Jesus was born. The Spirit of God caused the conception of the baby within her. But if you'll read the scriptures say that Joseph left her untouched until after he was born. A carnal woman that's worthy of condemnation conceives a miraculous child who is God, taking a human body. The Spirit of God is the instigator of this miracle. behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son. There's also a woman here that we need to talk about a little bit. This vibrant young virgin woman waits for the deliverance of the God-man. You know, Mary, like many faithful Hebrews, longed for God's redemption. The Hebrew people, ever since their beginning as a people, had looked forward to God sending this special Messiah. And as God, through the scriptures, he narrowed down the different qualities and tenets of who this child would be. And he narrowed it, they still looked. Every woman of the tribe of Judah who was married to a man of Judah wondered if her firstborn child would be the Emmanuel. Mary was waiting anxiously for God to intervene. She was like Simeon, my old buddy Simeon, in her spiritual hope. Luke 2:25, it's, behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Down in the 34th verse of that chapter says, and Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. And then the old man told God, I can die now. There was another woman there, Anna the prophetess, who also was waiting for God's visitation. In Luke 2:36, it says, there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Aser. She was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. She was married and lived with a man for 7 years, and he died, and she'd been a widow for 80 years. She was an old woman. Mary, who had found the favor of God, was frightened at the prospect. That's not unusual. I tell you, if we understood that we deal with God, it would frighten us. Luke 1:30 says, and the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. She was afraid. His words to her were that she would conceive and bear a male child, and that she would fulfill the prophecy of Isaiah 7:14. But I'm telling you what, this had to be frightening to this woman. She was a normal human being, depraved by nature, but she evidently was a woman of some character. She had kept her body pure, and she had been engaged to this man Joseph, and she was looking forward to having a happy marriage and having many children with him. She was mystified by the accomplishment of this purpose, that she would have a child and he would be the Messiah. The Spirit of God is the active agent in all mortal conceptions. Psalm 104:30 says, thou sendest forth thy Spirit, they are created, and thou renewest the face of the earth. You know, he is the source of all life. And he would overshadow her path. We've had several people in our church who didn't have children for a long time. And then all of a sudden, a miracle happens, and they have a child. You know. And we're all surprised, and we're happy, and we celebrated. I'll tell you what, there was a time in my lifetime when young women who were not married and found out they were pregnant were not real happy about it. This woman had to deal with that. Now, she did so in submission to God. And Joseph, her husband, as we read, he was going to put her away privately. He loved her. When he found out she was pregnant, he didn't know what was going on, but he was going to put her away privately, and the Spirit of God came to him and said, whoa, hold on here. Hold on, son. You got a good one here. Hold on to her. She yielded herself to the power of the Holy Spirit. Luke 1:38 says, Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word, and the angel departed from her. I tell you what, you won't find too many women or too many men to have such a powerful pronouncement made to them that'll say that. God did it. God did it. In the near future, she was going to bring forth a child, and he was going to be the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 1:20 says, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Quite an announcement. Quite an announcement. I can't imagine Mary and Joseph trotting up and down the streets and telling everybody that. And if they did, I can't believe anybody would believe it. But I'm going to tell you something. When God decides to move, when God decides to act, when God decides to do something, it really doesn't make any difference whether you believe it or not. It's still God. Now, in him, we find the reflection of deity to perfectly normal people. God sent a message of hope to many on this glorious occasion. He gave counsel to Joseph, the fiancé of Mary. He said, hold on, fella. This is a godly woman. The child that's conceived in her is not of the flesh. She has not submitted herself to fornication or to anything else. She's going to have a child. And you're to call his name Jesus. For he'll save his people from their sins. He spoke sweetly to Mary, this virgin who would bear Christ. I tell you, when I study this, I'm as much moved by her simplicity and her humble submission to God as I am by anything else. But I would remind you one thing, and we forget this real often. God's going to do what he's going to do. And you can submit to it or not, and he's still going to do what he's going to do. Ask Jonah. The angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. What a marvelous pronouncement. You found favor with God. You're going to conceive in your womb, and you're going to bring forth a child, a son, and call his name Jesus. Jesus is the Greek translation of the Old Testament word Joshua, which means the deliverer. He sent a message of good news to the shepherds in the fields. These fellows are sitting out there with old fuzzy sheep. It's cold. They're out there wondering what's going on. They're watching keep the wolves away, and robbers away. It came to pass in Luke 2:15, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. What good news. And yet we have better news. And we preach it to multitudes, and they will not hear. There were some other miracles that happened as a result of this that accompanied the birth of this special child. There was a star that appeared in the eastern skies. Nobody knows why. It just appeared. There was a supernatural light that revealed God's incarnation. God put a star in the sky to let folks know, my son's coming. My son's coming. There was an amazing light in that star that pointed to this child. Supernatural announcement of a supernatural birth. Pretty cool. There were wise men. We don't know how many. The song says there were three of them, and people think there were three of them. It might have been 5 or 6 or 10 or 15 or 2. But they were students of the scriptures as well as students of astronomy. And when they studied the stars, they saw a new light that they'd never seen before. And they compared it to the scriptures. And God used their knowledge to guide them to the Messiah. By the way, Jesus was not a baby when they got there. He was 2 or 3 years old. He brought them into the presence of a child who was certain to become the King of Glory. They stopped and asked the King of Israel, where's this fellow at that's going to be the King of Israel? Shook him up. He said, you all let me know where he is and I'll go see him. When they got down there and they saw him, God said, y'all go home another way. And that king got so upset that God told Joseph to take Mary and the baby and take them into Egypt, because the king killed every child in Israel under 3 years of age. He was trying to protect that throne. Kings do that, you know. In due time, God fulfilled his word, and he gave Mary a son, and she named him Jesus. Matthew 1:25 says, and knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. He came exactly when God planned for him to be there. I don't argue with people that celebrate Christmas, but I'm absolutely convinced it wasn't in December. Probably in August. But whenever it was, doesn't make any difference. It was exactly when God wanted him to be there. He came exactly where God intended him to be born. The prophecy of Micah long ago had said that he would be born in Bethlehem. Why would he be in Bethlehem? They lived in Nazareth. Because God raised up an evil king, an evil emperor of the Roman Empire, and he ordered a census of all the people in subjection under his authority so he could tax them, and they had to go back to the city where they were born and register. You know where Joseph was born? In Bethlehem. When God wanted, where God wanted. And he became exactly what God intended him to be, the Savior of souls. The first step of our redemption has now been made. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. God has blessed the world. And he has blessed his elect people by bringing Christ into a sinless human body that he would sacrifice for our atonement. Thank God. Thank God. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. When that baby lay in that manger in Bethlehem, God was with us. God was with us. Amen.